Thank you very much. This is work I've been doing over the last year and a half with Cher Lee, who's here today, and Alexandra Pagin. Really what we're talking about here is we're going to try to say a little bit more about one of the comments that Peter McGregor made. We may have this romantic view of what higher educations do, institutions do, but one thing is they do is they generate labor with particular skill sets. And Richard Harris, of course, gave you, I think, some quite good evidence on the link between higher education and productivity. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at, if you like, the flows of graduates between the different countries of the United Kingdom. Why are we interested in this? Well, one thing is not a great deal is known about it. There's been research in this area, but in our view, much of it is very weak. The regional focus is these four countries, but the idea is also to look at regions within these countries, and indeed that's the next step of this project. And we can think about the exporting and importing of graduates as being equally interesting into the export and import of goods and services. And also I'm part of a bigger project, if you like, with Peter McGregor, Kim Swales, and others, where some of this information we need to feed into this computable general equilibrium model, which is the main goal there is to try to evaluate what the actual impact of higher education on the economy is in this kind of mathematical representation of how we think the economy works. I'm particularly interested in the situation in Scotland because I live there. Indeed, I'm going to talk mainly about Scotland today, but I'll make some comments also about the other three countries, the United Kingdom as well. There's a big concern in Scotland with the depopulation of rural and remote regions. Okay, so also it's thought that the migration flows of students and graduates reinforce migration flows of the general population. Indeed, we see what's happening in Scotland is there's a drift in the population effectively from the north and the west to the east. Okay, so this is from the highlands and the islands and northern parts of Scotland and also from Glasgow over towards Edinburgh and the surrounding council areas. And there is this belief amongst quarters that building higher education institutions or expanding higher education institutions in rural and remote areas will help reverse these trends. But the idea being is that one view is that if people have to leave a region to go to a higher education institution, or for that matter, a further education institution, then this really reduces the probability that they're going to return to the place where they're from. Whether that's true or not, we don't know quite yet. And also, there's a big discussion in Scotland about the cost versus the benefit of higher education, particularly because there are no tuition fees at the moment for Scottish domiciled students. And, you know, we're certainly it's a very different situation relative to England. Okay, so those are the issues. We're using a variety of data sources. The one I'll talk about today is this data from HESA. And essentially, we have two surveys, or two data banks. The first has got to do with the destination of leavers from higher education, and then information about students in higher education. What this effectively means is that we have a lot of information on people, where they're from, where they're studied, and where they're working 6 months down after graduation. So, you know, this is clear geographic focus. We know the postal addresses, so we can essentially trace these people and find out, you know, whether the one, two, and three were the same or one, two, and three were different. And really what we're talking about is it's a data set that will allow us to look at least different types of migration flows or different types of migration types. And, you know, those of you that work in this area or are interested in demographic issues, I mean, migration is one of the three main demographic variables, and it's the one that we know least about. What we're talking about here is movement between, if you like, the four countries of the United Kingdom, but we're also talking about movement within Scotland around what we think are 10 meaningfully defined regions. I'll mainly focus on one, and if I have time, I'll say something about two within Scotland near the end. Just some background information, I think it's always useful. This just looks at the number of students per 1,000 population over this 10-year period in time, and as you can see, Northern Ireland, in terms of this measure, is a much lower level. Indeed, that's not necessarily bad, but it's certainly much less measured this way than the other three countries of the United Kingdom. And the orange one, of course, the average, there's Scotland is blue, and the average is the black of the United Kingdom. So again, but the point to remember here is that, I mean, these numbers have grown rapidly. Numbers of students in higher education have grown rapidly over the last decade or even two decades. So we just look at this chart. This just shows you the percentage changes in each different way we can think of categorizing students. And again, I think where Northern Ireland is has done a little bit better than the average. It seems to have grown its undergraduates at a higher rate than the UK average, but is really quite well behind in terms of postgraduates and foreign graduates in terms of growth anyway. And indeed, I think this kind of reflects where it is in that diagram before. So again, whether you think if this is preferred, then there's certainly well behind a factor of for foreign students of 5 to 1. Okay, now let's go back to this HESED data and look at this kind of the geographic mobility side of this story. Is that this is the percent of graduates whose place of work is the same as their place of study. So you can see for England, that's been relatively constant over this four-year period of around 97%. In Scotland, it's about 15% in 2002, 2003, and it's declined slightly, but it's still 13%. So 13% of the people in 12.5% of the students who have studied at Scottish institutions work somewhere else, work somewhere else. Likewise, in Wales, I mean, the more work I do on Wales, it's almost like it's a campus for English students. I mean, you've got a situation 36% work somewhere else. And Northern Ireland, it's a relatively low number, and it's been constant over time of about 5%. So the interesting thing here is that we have a great deal of variation in this across these four countries. Okay, so this is again England being the biggest country of the United Kingdom. You can see that 10.8% of all Scottish students, these aren't Scottish domiciled students, these are students studying at Scottish universities, end up working in England, and it's 35% for Wales, but obviously a lot of these students that are in Wales are English domiciled to begin with, so it's like them going home. But we're going to look, part of our project is to look at this in much more detail in Northern Ireland, 4.3%. So again, we've got quite significant variation there. Now, I just want to give you the stylized sort of representation of what this data looks like. Essentially, you can construct these matrices. And what we have is down the left-hand side is the place of domicile, and we have the four countries, and then we have the place of study. So if everybody, the place of domicile and the place of study are the same, then everybody would fall on the diagonal. And when you start calculating these matrices from this data, not everybody, of course, falls on the diagonal. So what we're really trying to get to a model here is, why don't you fall on the diagonal? So we can take this one and go one step further. We can have the place of study, the next step, and then we can do the same thing for a place of employment. If those were the same for everybody, then everybody would be on the diagonal. Indeed, when you look at this, it's clearly not the case. So we'd like to understand that. Or really what we're trying to do is model these two matrices at the same time. Okay. So what are the determinants of graduate migration flows? Well, we want to look at this a little bit. And what we do is we fit logit regression models, so where the probability of migrating is related to observable characteristics. And I'll tell you what these observable characteristics are in a minute. And this is what this allows us to do. And I'm not going to go into all the details and show you all the coefficients and standard errors and all this other stuff that's completely boring. Is what it does is it just allows us to summarize what is very complicated data, a very large amount of data, quite a succinct way that makes it understandable. I mean, we're talking about 1.2 million people in this data set that we've used the last 5 years. Again, we're mainly focusing on Scotland at the moment, but it's being extended to the UK, and indeed I'm going to present some results for the rest of the UK today. But I want to focus on Scottish domiciled students studying in Scotland and examine the migration after graduation to other countries in the United Kingdom. Now, why is this important? Well, you think about who these students are. These are the students that the Scottish taxpayer is paying for. And we can argue about whether or not the Scottish taxpayer is paying all of this, but one thing for sure, in Scotland, we pay, if you like, more per student than in England, and a lot of these students, the belief is that they leave. And as if we would like to, in a sense, some people would like to keep these students because we're making a very serious investment in them. So we want to know why they're leaving, who they're leaving, et cetera. And again, there's not been that much work done on this, but people have clear views on this. Because, if we're going to spend more on higher education, then by definition, we're going to have to spend less on something else, and Scotland has a very rapidly aging population, which is going to, it's going to increase demand for public money very rapidly over the next couple of decades. And what we want to do here is we want to look at first degree graduates separately and then postgraduate graduates, okay? Because some research prior in time has mixed these two groups together, and they're very different. One thing, usually you have to have an undergraduate degree to do a postgraduate degree. Postgraduates on average are older, et cetera. And I've seen quite a bit of work where people have merged these two student groups together. And I think that's often led to some findings that are wrong, if not wrong, at least misleading. And we also fit similar models for England, Northern Ireland, and Wales. And we do this mainly here for comparative purposes because, I can show you some numbers for Scotland, but they are probably meaningless to most of you because most of you are not expert in what's going on in Scotland. But you'll get a better feel for, I think, the scale of what we're talking about here if we compare it to these other countries. And I'm sure everybody in the room is from one of these four countries. Okay. So what we consider, the variables we've considered so far, if you like, is the person's sex, their age at graduation, got ethnic variables some people argue are important, so we consider those. We define them in this particular way. We have the class of degree, first class, 2-1, etc. We have the subject area defined in this way. And if we look at 4, 5, and 6, this is quite an important distinction, if you like, for Scotland, because Scotland has a lot of joint degrees. You can have a joint degree that's a mix between science and social science, et cetera. And we have, I think, generally speaking, these degrees in Scotland are much more popular than other countries in the United Kingdom. In fact, 30 years ago, about 35 years ago, it wasn't possible, for example, at the University of Glasgow to do a single honors degree in anything. You had to do a joint. And that, of course, has changed. Also, some problems with this data is that there's quite a bit of unknown information, which is unfortunate because this category, unknown, seems to be rather important. And we know, at least from a statistical point of view, and we don't know why that's the case because we don't know who they are. We have the type of higher education institute, I think, with the RAE just recently out. These categories, I think, are the relevant ones for our purposes. We have the so-called Russell Group University, the non-Russell Group pre-1992 universities, the post-1992 universities, sometimes referred to the new universities. And also in a country like Scotland, a lot of degrees, actually, and higher diplomas, certificates, higher education certificates, are actually awarded by higher and further education colleges. Again, these are regions that we think we've defined ourselves because we have postal code, and these are, we agonize about this a lot, about what is the most relevant way to think about regions in Scotland, and indeed, ask anybody the same question, they have a different answer, but this is a grouping that's often used in the Scottish government. Also, I was just involved with a project where we use the same categories. Study full-time or part-time, movers, i.e. did the person actually move to go to the Higher Education Institute from somewhere else? So really what we're talking about is the probability of migrating to England or Wales or Northern Ireland, and the vast number, of course, go to England, are for males, full-time, black ethnic background, graduate age 22, science or science-led degree, first-class degree, Russell Group University, and they moved to the Higher Education Institute to go there. And the regional effect is everybody has a lower probability of moving compared to Strathclyde, which Glasgow is the center. But there's been a decline in this over the last 5 years, and indeed that comes through even after controlling in this regression framework. Okay, so the trend is still downward. And again, the results are very similar for postgraduates. I mean, the students that have a higher probability of moving are really, well, I think we can safely call high-quality students. They're the winners in our system, higher education system. Right, now, again, what does this mean? Well, what we've done here, I don't want to show you all these regressions. So what we've done is we said I created a hypothetical first-degree graduate with the average characteristics of Scottish graduates. I predicted their probability. And then I looked at one of these winners with these characteristics, and I calculated the predict their probability of them moving. So for this kind of average Scottish graduate, it's about 4%. For the graduate, this winner graduate, it's five times higher, 21.5%. Now I've done the same thing for the other country, we've done the same thing for the other three countries in the United Kingdom. So I said, okay, let's have a graduate from Wales with these Scottish characteristics, et cetera, and then there'll be lots of people with those characteristics. And here's the rest of the results. So the probability of English domiciled students moving to Scotland for this average person is 0.8%, and for this winter, it jumps up to 2%. So it's a threefold increase, but much lower. And as you can see, for Wales, it's 3.1%, 11.4%, Northern Ireland, 8.1%, 26.7%. So these people that do extremely well in the higher education system have a much higher probability of moving. And notice they're moving both ways here. Okay? It's not like there is this view that somehow the demand for graduate jobs, for graduates, is much higher in England than other parts of the United Kingdom. Well, how can that be the case? Because we still see graduates coming from England to the other three countries. So it's just not as simple as that. What it is really about is the, if you like, the characteristics of the people. And again, so we can, in a sense, use these this information, use these results to calculate who is the net benefit, who is the net winner, who benefits the most from these flows of graduates back and forth. And indeed, that, as Peter said, that's an extremely important way of evaluating the role of higher education institutions in the economy. Again, I don't have time to talk about this, but what I'm just going to say is that if we look at the people who go to universities, move to university, and then the one that they move back to the region that they come from, these are the students that, if you like, are the opposite of the winners. You know, the non-Russell Group graduates, arts and humanities, et cetera. Okay, and again, so there's a symmetry here that we don't fully understand, but it's very, very different to what we see with people that are very successful in higher universities. So anyway, we're all here, so if you want to ask us questions later on, we'll be delighted to take them. Thank you.